This show is brought to you by Carbonite Backup Service and GoTo Assist Express. It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 371. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for any show topic or any technical questions that you might have. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. I have a real good one for later in the show. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also you can send me a friend request for Facebook, and that's facebook.com/MikeTechShow. I have a jam-packed show tonight, and the whole topic changed because of Tuesday. What was Tuesday? I have listeners that span the globe, but if you were in the Northeast Corridor between North Carolina and going all the way up to Martha's Vineyard, you probably felt the 5.8 earthquake that originated at the epicenter in Virginia. And I was on the fourth floor of a building with a client, and that building started to sway. And let me tell you, when it started moving, and I've never experienced an earthquake, and I know all of my California listeners are laughing. They don't even think a 5.8 warrants discussion. But if you've never felt an earthquake and you're in a building that is now swaying, it is scary. And then it stopped after a few seconds and then started again. And it moved again. Now, sheer terror is, how can I describe this? I was scared to death during this. And I did the exact opposite of what you're supposed to do on an earthquake. Self-preservation took over. And I said, if the building is collapsing and I'm going to die trying to save myself and trying to leave the building. So me and many others scampered down the exit steps and the stairwell and got out of the building, and then realized while I was walking down, boy, if this is an earthquake and anything starts crumbling down, I better move far away from the building. People started congregating outside the building, and I'm like, I'm going a lot further. I want to go far enough away that if it starts falling, I'm going to be safe. So to make a long story short, that night was the night that I'm giving a discussion on backups to the Princeton users group. I covered the backups in great detail. I'm going to cover some of that tonight because not only do we have an earthquake that was Tuesday, there is a major hurricane that is going to hit my area on Sunday. The preparations that have to go in place for a hurricane and the things that I need to discuss with clients is a whole new ball game for me, because when I was in the corporate world, I only had one client to worry about, the client that employed me. And when there was a major storm coming, we would make sure whatever preparations we had to make. But now I have 10 retainer clients that depend on me for their sole IT support. And I got to worry about what the power issues are going to happen, because they are going to lose power over the weekend. They lose power when storms aren't that great. To have a major hurricane be hitting, things are going to happen. So for me, from an IT perspective, it changes everything. Like Monday morning, I had appointments that I am now rescheduling for Tuesday and Wednesday, because I am going to be flooded with phone calls on Monday. I already know one client that anytime there's a power outage and we have UPSs, but there's no generator, they're in a big building that when they lose power, the items don't come up in the right order. And they have an untangle box that sits between the network and the internet. That untangle box does not come up in the right order and always prevents them from getting to the internet. So I already know Monday morning they need to reboot the untangle box. But knowing that a storm's coming Sunday, who's going to be the first person in on Monday? I'm going to have that discussion tomorrow with that client. So this way they know where to go, what to do, and to reboot that box if necessary. So I'm going to make plans. There's already one new client from a month ago that has not set me up with access to the facility where they want me to come by tomorrow to pick up a key and get the alarm codes so I can restart the servers and make sure they're okay if necessary over the weekend, possibly Sunday night after everything passes, make sure everything's running. I will do that. I have access to six other clients where I got keys, card keys, passcodes, whatever's needed to have physical access to the building. All those clients, I got to remote in and I got to make sure. But here's the one issue. What if I don't have power? How can I remote in and help anybody? So I am making plans that I got my laptop. Everything's going to be charged. I've got my pay-as-you-go Virgin Mobile 3G card that I can activate for internet access. I'm also going to take an assessment of the power outage, how far, and if there is, can I go to one of my clients and use my client's office as sort of my remote office and base station while my power's down to my house? All these things you have to start thinking about, and the impact, especially when you know something's going. Life's not like that all the time. Here we know a hurricane's coming. Did anybody know that an earthquake was going to happen Tuesday? And what if it was greater than 5.8? What would you have done for your data? Everybody listening to my voice on this podcast, whether it be live or whenever you're listening to this, ask yourself, can you be without your pictures, your data files, everything that you worked hard to save, maybe schoolwork, projects you're working on? Where are the backups and are they off-site? And if they're not off-site, why aren't they? And yes, this is shameless because they are a sponsor of the show, but Carbonite, the online backup service, is a service you should be looking at because it's only $59 for a year for unlimited backup. You can now take your data and back it up offline. So God forbid that hurricane or that you lose power and maybe you go to boot your system back up after you've lost power and it doesn't boot anymore. What about the backup? What if an earthquake hits and it's destroyed the facility? The backups not only have to be done locally, they have to be done off-site. And the only solution, there's many out there, but reliable, something you can count on, you can get to no matter where you go. It's in the cloud. You can go any other location and you can access the files and bring them down. And that's Carbonite. And I can't recommend them stronger than, especially after this week. You can get a 15-day free trial at Carbonite.com. No credit cards required. You can use the offer code TPN and get 2 free additional months. So think about this. $59, you get 12 months. Use the code TPN, add 2 more months to it. So now, do the math. 14 months for $59 for unlimited backup. You can't go wrong. Take a look at your backup scenarios, your disaster recovery scenarios. So we have the off-site backup scenario taken care of. You have a solution. That's the Carbonite for service, for solution. But I also want you to think about a local backup for the following. If your hardware does fail, how about having an image ready to roll and restore to get your system up and running? You have two types of backups. You have file backup and you have image backup. Yes, there's many others, but we're oversimplifying everything right now. I recommend you do both. You get a file backup of your data files and you use my favorite free utility, SyncBack. I know there's many, many, many utilities out there. There's SyncToy and this file synchronization program and this one. You know what? SyncBack just plain and simple works. It's free. I love it. I use it for my clients on a daily basis for backing up their files. For backing up your data files, you should strongly consider SyncBack. And now back that up to an external drive. Also consider the following and use this in the Carbonite scenario. Let's say you got 5 or 6 computers at home. Use SyncBack to back up the data files from all of the systems to one central computer. That central computer will act as your local server. It can be any operating system. I've had tons of shows talking about networking between different operating systems. It can be XP. As a matter of fact, I recommend it being XP because that's the easiest to share. Any operating system can see a share in XP. If it's Windows 7, it's a little complicated because now you got to create an account. You got to play with the permissions in order to get all the systems talking to it. It gets a little complicated in mapping drives from XP to a Windows 7 system. To avoid that, take an old computer that's got lots of storage, put XP Pro on it. Now, set up a share, put SyncBack on all the other computers, and stagger the times for when they're going to back up the data files to that central server. Now, buy Carbonite, put it on that server, and let it back up all of the data on that computer into the cloud. You now have a backup scenario for every computer in your house, and it's off-site. You have a copy that's backed up local and a copy that's off-site. It doesn't get any better than that. And that's very affordable because now you're only looking at the $59 for Carbonite. Everything else is free. What about image? Now, file backup only gets you so far. That's where you get your data back. But what about creating an image of your system when you have failure of the hard drive? Maybe you got to go buy a new hard drive. Maybe the operating system gets corrupt and you want to be able to reload your system. Well, the answers are very simple. If it's Windows 7, it's already built in, and we'll get there in a second. If you have Vista or XP, you got two free choices. There's many, but there's two that I like that are free but require some extra effort. The two that I recommend are CloneZilla and DriveImageXML. All of these links will be in the show notes for this show. When you use DriveImageXML, you can customize building this bootable CD that you will then boot up your computer, have a drive connected, and you can get an image done. There is a lot of effort in building that disk, getting it to work and testing it out. And the same with CloneZilla. They're free programs and you have instructions and it's sort of do it yourself. I have another recommendation. What about buying an old version of Acronis? You don't need the latest, greatest version to do an image of XP. That's crazy. You can get a 2009 version of Acronis for $8. Like, on Newegg and Amazon. I see it all the time. And you get the original media. Buy an older version of Acronis. And now you can take an image of the older operating system because you know the new versions take advantage of the new operating system. If Windows 7 and different features, you don't need that. The old version will work. Consider that if money is an issue and now you don't have the pain and suffering of going through all of the work of do-it-yourself and building that CD. but I know a lot of you, like myself, enjoy that. I actually did I think it was show 100, where I went over the exact detail of how to build the Drive Image XML. And I went through step by step. Now, DG in the chat just said the 2011 version of Acronis is $20. Money no object. I love Storage Craft Shadow Protect. Shadow Protect, they used to be a sponsor a while ago. I'm still going to give them a little love here, even though I shouldn't, but it is a good product. Storage Craft Shadow Protect, it's like $89 for the desktop version, and you can get images, and it is so fast to recover. If you were doing a bake-off between Shadow Protect and Acronis, Shadow Protect will eat Acronis for lunch and spit it out. Shadow Protect has it on speed, but you're going to pay more money for it. If $89 is in your budget, I highly recommend Shadow Protect. Shadow Protect is what I use for all my servers clients, for all my clients that has servers. So now we have file backup taken care of. We have our image taken care of for XP and Vista. What about Windows 7? Well, Windows 7 comes with your own system image software. I will have links to the step-by-step instructions on how to do this. First, you need to create a system repair disk. So when you click start and you have the little window come up where you can type anything you want, start typing system repair disk, and you will be prompted. You will get a window up that will ask you to put a CD in your drive, and you can create the disk. It can be a CD, and it will be a bootable disk that will be able to boot to a menu when you need it and when you are in trouble and have a problem, where you can do your startup repair. You can do a system restore. You can do a system image recovery. You can do a Windows memory diagnostic. Or how about just getting to a command prompt? You will be able to do all these things from the system recovery disk. It is very important. If you have Windows 7, and I don't care what version, and you have not created this disk, that's your assignment. The minute you're done listening to this show, go to your system, get a blank CD, and make a system recovery disk and put it away. It's free. Now, you can create a system image. This is where you want to get an external drive. Plug it into your Windows 7 system, and you can easily back up your system. You can just start typing backup, and you will get a nice window for the backup window, and there's an option on the left-hand side that says create a system image. You now can select, do you want it to go to a hard drive? Do you want it to go to multiple DVDs? You have everything you need to recover and make an image of your Windows 7 disk. Now remember, the first step was to create the repair disk, because when you have a problem to recover, you're going to boot from the recovery disk, and then you're going to pick, I want to recover the system image, and then you'll have the drive plugged in that has your image, point to your image, let it do the restore, you're done. This is included with Windows 7. It costs nothing except the external drive that you have for the media for backing up. If you don't have an external drive, let me take a moment and suggest that use my Amazon link, miketechshow.com, mikenation.net. On the left-hand side, scroll down, click on the Amazon link, and buy an external drive. They are so cheap. You can get a nice Western Digital Passport drive that's a terabyte for under $100. You can't go wrong. It is the ultimate way for backing up all of your systems and having a disk and having it ready. You have to assess your situation. Do you have multiple computers? And you may want to do what I suggested about having that round robin, having everybody back up to one particular location. Or Take separate images. Take that external drive to all the Windows 7 systems at home and do a system image to each from each system and then name it accordingly, that image. So this way you know which one you got an image of. You have to spend the time and make the commitment. I know everybody listening to this show, you're shaking your head. Yes, Mike's right. I'm going to. And then as soon as it's over and we're done listening, that's it. You're not going to do it. I'm going to be here to remind you again and again, you have to back up your systems. You have to back up your data and let Mother Nature and what's happening right now be the motivation, because it can happen. A tree can fall down and take out a small office somewhere, a building. There are so many things that you can't even imagine or think of that can happen, that can destroy your system. How about just an electrical storm ruining components? Maybe taking out the hard drive, taking out your system. You got to have a backup of your data. It's so important. Now, let's say you are doing consulting and you need to remote in to a client and take care of their system. Go to Assist Express is the program to use for doing complete remote control of another system. It is easy to use and you can assess, diagnose, repair a system remotely. It doesn't get any better than that. And it's not that expensive and you can try it free for 30 days. But you have to go to assist.com/podcast to see how you can deliver live tech support to anyone, anywhere with Go to Assist Express. Now, speaking of that, I'll be remoting in to my clients throughout the weekend as I can to monitor what's going on with their servers. Because we know the hurricane's coming on Sunday, I gotta prepare for the inevitable with maybe these servers, something not coming up. So I'm going to make sure Friday night, all the backups are pristine. No errors. Everything's perfect. So I know what I'm doing Friday night. I'm spending time making sure. Now, I get an alert from all of the backups that they're happening, and I make sure that that alert, you know, I'm notified, and that's very important. But I'm also going to log in, check on things, see how things are on the server. I do that every weekend. I'm going to spend extra attention now throughout the weekend, maybe just to make sure I can get in. And when I can't get in, what could be wrong? And I have to have a plan of attack for Monday. I can only be at one place at a time. This is one of those scenarios that I'm worried about. What if I have three or four clients with a problem all at the same time? This is where it's important to prioritize. Who is impacted the most and who's paying me the most? Who is my biggest retainer client? Because they're going to get priority. If seven clients called me all at the same time, in my mind, I can rank them as to which ones are more important and which ones are not. Now, what if a client who I've occasionally worked on their computer, they call me and they got troubles. They're at the back of the line. It's only fair. The companies that are paying me a regular retainer, they get priority. I'm now just hoping that all goes well. And boy, I wish I could say it's much ado about nothing. And I hope next week I'm saying that. But it's better to be overprepared than not be prepared. So I have a voicemail for tonight. I also have independent music. And I also want to remind everybody that there will be a special Mike Tech show, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, where my friend Josh Hummel, the attorney, is going to be my guest. And we're going to have a great time talking about the legal aspects of starting your own business and choices that you got to make. And we got some great questions from listeners that he's going to tackle. So join me. It'll be a lot of fun. This voicemail is in response to last week's question about imaging an Android tablet. Give a listen.
Yes, Mike, this is Paul in San Antonio calling you once again. And first off, I just want to apologize. It's been a few weeks since I listened to your show. However, I listened to your latest episode, and you had a question from a listener about imaging the hard drive of a Android tablet. First of all, he expresses concern about going away from the Apple side of things with the iPad. I, for one, would suggest that it was a good choice by the company because to be locked in to having to use iTunes and things like that, I know if I was running a business and I had employees on the clock, I would not want to have iTunes on any computer because I know that that would lead to productivity issues there in the workplace. The Android tablets are totally independent of the PC. They do not have to be tied to any software or anything like that. They get all their updates and everything over the air. Really, though, besides imaging, it's not the same thing as imaging a hard drive on a PC. The term you're actually looking for is called ROMing. You can root the device and then apply any custom ROMs on it, which is basically the user interface, the Android UI, I guess is what you call it. If you look online, there's a lot of custom ROMs that you can flash onto various Android devices. There are some for tablets as well, but these are pre-made by somebody who decides, picks and chooses what apps they want on it. It's basically the same thing that Google does and to put Android out there. It's basically a ROM that's given to the carriers, and then the carriers can then modify it, which is why you have various UIs between different manufacturers and different carriers, because they're allowed to mess with it the way they like. And some, like AT&T, have the habit of putting apps on there that are specific to them, and you can't remove them. But if you look online, there is information on how to do it. And rather than just going out there and getting a custom ROM, you can create your own. It's just a matter of finding somebody who knows how. Elance is a good resource. You can go on and put a job posting up and basically hire somebody on a contract basis, a freelancer, who can create the custom ROM for you. But you really don't even need your own custom ROM unless you have Android apps of your own that your business wants on those tablets. If you're just going to use stock apps or apps that are available in the Android market, then there's no reason to even mess with all that. You can just find the ROM that you like, put that on there, or stick with the out-of-the-box UI that comes with the devices. And if you ever have a time where you have to redistribute it to a different employee, you can just do a reset on it. You can do soft resets, but you can also do a factory reset that sets it back to exactly the state it was in when you purchased it. You then just have to check for any updates and then reinstall the apps on there. But it's really not as complicated as it is on the PC. You can go into your browser to the Android market, choose the app you want, and push it over to the device from there. You don't even have to do it on the device if you find it a little clunky without a keyboard and using a touchscreen. So that would be my recommendation. If you really want to find out more online, what you want to search for is Android ROMing, and then for the specific device that you're going to be using. I'm going to cut it off there to keep you from getting too long-winded, but enjoying the show, and I just thought I'd give that information, at least point the listener in the right direction. Thank you. Bye.
Paul, thank you so much for taking the time and putting that together. I really appreciate that, and that's great. And that's why I love doing this show, and I love having questions. And if you have a question, if I can't answer it, there's going to be someone out there listening that can help us answer that question, solve that problem. That's what this is all about. And I appreciate everybody's feedback. With that, I have some independent music tonight. And this artist I've played a long time ago. She has a tremendous voice. And her name is Laura Higgins. And the song is Your Sympathy, 27 Days. give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
Sitting in this chair, I watch you read and twirl your hair as if you know how much it hurts me every time. You bring me soup and crooked smiles, but always with advice why I should find a brighter side or bluer sky. And when you walk away, I don't forgive you for the fault. And if you sit and stay, it makes me angry. When you talk, I've still got 27 days and zero patience here to be your sympathy. Extended family, the cousins that I barely see, send cards to wish me better days ahead. And all of this attention, though I know they've good intentions, leaves a bitter taste of metal in my head. So if you wanna help me, then just watch from where you are. Don't tell me I'll be fine, don't tell your friends. You think I'm stronger than I am. I've still got 27 days until I'm free from your sympathy. And when I look in the mirror, I see a stranger staring me down. Can't fight any harder when the room spins round and round and round. When you forgive you for the fault. But if you sit and say, it makes me angry when you talk. I've still got 27 days and zero patience here to be your sympathy. Again, a dream.
That is Laura Higgins and the song Your Sympathy, 27 Days. And I will have a link to her website and on MySpace, actually, which has sort of become the new GarageBand for me, where I miss GarageBand.com. That was where I used to get all that great independent music. So digging deep into some of the artists I played before and then looking for them online and getting music. Real quick, if you ever look at pictures from Facebook online for me, you will see a picture of Winston Wolf and myself in front of this big neon signs that says Geno Steaks. To me, the best cheesesteak in Philadelphia. There are no better, and it's always a debate with people. Very sad to report that Joey Vento, the owner of Geno Steaks, passed away this week. The reason I'm mentioning this is because it wasn't just the great cheesesteak that he had. It's what he has done for the community. He would hold so many functions for police officers that are killed in the line of duty in the Philadelphia area. He would literally take all of the gross proceeds from a day or two, and that would be given to a family of the fallen police officer. What he would give back to the community is immeasurable, and I so hope that his family continues with that, and I'm sure they will, and he will be deeply missed in this area. I just had to mention that because I'm from the area, and that I don't know what kind of national news that made, but certainly in our area, that was very, very big. So my closing thoughts here, if you are in the area, this weekend that's going to be impacted by the hurricane. Please, I hope you and your family are safe and you've taken the proper measures to protect yourselves and to plan on having the proper, you know, water and supplies that you need. I just pray and hope that everybody is okay and that we all get through this with no injuries and no problems and knock wood, no damages to our property. Let's hope, and I hope everybody, even in the earthquake area, I know there was some building damages and things. I hope everybody was okay. My listeners in Virginia, with all these things happening, it's one of those reasons why be nice to everybody. Hug someone. Very important. So with that, I will talk to you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.